Good morning, church. Life is unexpected sometimes, and some things happen that we don't actually plan for. Pastor Brian is ill, and it's not like a flu or anything. I think he had some bad food. And I woke up at 4:30 this morning to a text saying, "Hey, Anthony, you might have to preach." So I read through the text, and then at 6:30 I called him. I texted him back, and he said, "I'm doing fine, you know, so don't worry about it." So I really didn't worry about it. And then he said, I was upstairs and I was getting ready to write on the board what we were going to go over this morning, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to need you to cover me." And I said, "Okay, no problem. The Lord can do miraculous things, right?" So if you wouldn't mind just bowing your heads now, and we'll just say a prayer for Pastor Brian. And if you wouldn't mind, so that I won't throw up here for nerves, if you could just say a prayer for me. And let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you just for a new day. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in the future. And Lord, we thank you for the confidence to live our lives right now. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so today we're going to be looking at the Christmas story. We're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. But before we get there, you guys notice that life gets a little busy during Christmas time? No? I'm going to come hang out with you. Things get a little crazy, and what I've seen at home especially is when we have days where we're going to have people over, there's a frenzy of cleaning and just getting prepared and cooking. And does anybody else the same way? Yeah? It's good to have people over because it's really the only time your house is going to get clean. But there's this lady that Pastor Brian had spoken of. This lady was trying to watch her kids. She's working at home, and I have a friend like this. She works at home, but her two kids are also at home, so there's really no time for breaks. She's got to, like, continuously give the kids snacks. She's got to do her work. You work at home, too, so you know exactly the struggle. And so she's... The kids are crying, and they're fighting with each other, and she says, "Okay, well, let me make them a snack. You know, maybe that'll calm them down." So she makes them a snack, and then they start fighting with each other again, so she takes the dishes back into the sink, and now the sink is overfilled with dishes, just another job that she's got to do later. And she's sitting there, and she's maybe on a conference call, and she's doing her typing, and then all of a sudden she gets hit in the back of the head with something, and she's like, "What was that?" And she turns around, and she's looking and doesn't see anything. And then she's typing away again, and she's on the phone, and then all of a sudden, tink, another hit in the back of the head. And this time she sees it was a paper airplane that her kid had thrown at her, you know, just for fun. And she turned around, and before she could explode, she saw what hit her, like I said, the paper airplane. Her 9-year-old son sat there smiling, and instantly the mother knew she needed to slow down and let all the pressure go. So before she said anything, she opened it up, and because he said, "Open it." So she pulled it open, the paper airplane, to see that her son had drawn a picture of a snowy day with three people on sleds enjoying the day. Underneath the image, her son wrote her a note. "Dear Mom, I just wanted to tell you how much I love you, and you're the bestest Christmas present forever and ever." Right? So... we can get too busy to see these things, you know, and sometimes even amidst a busy life, God is right there. Love is right there. And sometimes we just have to open our eyes to see it. God's ways may surprise you. So life can be full of unexpected gifts. Some things maybe that you didn't think were going to be a gift turned out to be the best gift, right? The paper airplane wasn't necessarily what she asked for. But when she opened it up, it was what she really needed in her heart, right? A Christmas story is full of joy and hope. And on one hand, people are expecting God to bring about a Messiah. So they're waiting, just like that last song we sang. They're waiting for the Messiah. And on the other hand, people were expecting God. They weren't expecting it to happen the way God wanted it to happen. And on the third hand, Brian said, we're getting into octopus territory here, right? One hand, two hand, three hands. Through the prophets, God told them what would happen and what to expect. So the Christmas story, what in the world is going on? There's a bunch of those moments in the Christmas story. It is a great reminder that God is in control, right? All the time, God has a plan. And he is working. He is working through us every step of the way. And this series is entitled Unexpected Gifts. So God's Christmas story happens in this way. And isn't that a weird way to put it? Let me see. Let me pull up my Bible here. We can look at Matthew. I think we have to stand for this, right? If I read the text. Okay, let's stand up. Usually I get my nerves out in the morning. I ask the kids what's going on in their life, what's new, what's happening. And then once we get to that point, everything just feels good. So I'm gonna start with you. No, just kidding. No, I'm just joking. All right. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I'm also a little dramatic. I like to do all the voices. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So you guys can have a seat. Point number one in your outlines here, I think we want to get these filled out for full points. There will be a test. Life isn't always what you expect. Maybe you've said, you know, well, that didn't go according to plan, or that took me by surprise. This did not go as planned. Pastor Brian said, me being at home and being sick wasn't my plan. And he was like, and what a sermon illustration it was. He's like, God, why are you doing this to me last minute? But sometimes it just doesn't go as planned. God's Christmas story is a big, I bet you did not see that coming. It is unexpected. Even when the author, Matthew, says, now the birth of Christ took place this way, it says right away you should not, you're thinking that something's amiss. Why is he explaining it this way? Good morning, Cody. Glad you showed up. We're bros. We can say that to each other. There's this, Pastor Brian was talking about this restaurant. It's called the Restaurant of Forgotten Orders. And It hires strictly dementia patients. Now, this is not a joke. I'm not trying to make a joke or make light of it in any way. It hires dementia patients to be the waiters. So you go to the restaurant, and maybe you know what you want to eat, and you order what you want to eat, but what comes to your table is not what you ordered, because the chances are they've forgotten by the time they took your order to the time they gave the order. And it's not something that's, it's something that's celebrated to bring awareness to dementia and just this idea that, you know what, sometimes life isn't what you expect. You know, you get something different. And I think it's pretty cool. I don't know if I'd want to eat there. But the restaurant of mistaken orders, where your food is never what you expect. Brian also wanted to point out that there's a story of a man named Elisha. You guys remember Elijah? Elijah, I'm sorry, not Elisha. And Elijah was a mighty prophet of God. And Elijah had a stand where he said, you know, the people of Israel, some of them were worshiping Baal, and there was a lot of prophets of Baal, and he has this confrontation up on the mountain, and he calls out to God to prove himself that Baal is not God. And fire comes down from heaven. You guys have heard the story. We did it in VBS, where they dig a trench around, and he fills it with water, and he pours water on top of the sacrifice. He makes it pretty much impossible for it to actually burn up. But God, in one fell swoop, he just prays a little prayer, and fire falls down from heaven, not only takes up the animal, burns the altar, laps up the water, everything's gone. And he tells the people that time, let's get these guys, right? These 400 prophets of Baal. And there's kids in here now, but they slaughter him, basically, okay? And all of a sudden, the woman, the wife of the king who's in charge, King Ahaz has a wife named Jezebel, and Jezebel basically puts, I don't want to say a warrant out for his arrest, but basically saying, you're going to get it. I'm going to kill you personally. And he's scared. And he runs away, and he hides into a cave. And it's not something that you would expect a man who just had this mighty battle and this huge victory. And he cries to God. He says, I'm the only one that's left. Nobody else really believes in you. And God has to tell him, like, what are you doing in this cave? There's plenty of people that still serve me who have not bowed their knee to Baal. You know, I have a plan. You might not think it's the right plan, but I have a plan. Sometimes God doesn't let us in on every detail, am I right? We just get a little bit at a time, enough that we can handle. I mean, sometimes if the plan was laid out, we might just rebel against it, you know, because that's just who we are as people. So what do you do when life throws you a curveball? You know, when your own understanding tells you this has got to be the way, but God says, no, there's another way. Let me see. Where are we at? Point number two. Turn your predicaments into prayers. Right? It's an opportunity. Things might not make sense to you. Right? We may get into a predicament, and it might not make any sense. The common sense thing to do for Joseph was to quietly get a divorce, and he was a good man. I would like to say that if he made a big deal about this, maybe Mary would have been stoned to death, right, for being unfaithful, because no one's going to believe that the Holy Spirit impregnated her, right? Even Joseph couldn't wrap his head around it, didn't believe it. So it wasn't until God came to Joseph in a dream and said, hey, this girl's telling the truth. Take her as your wife. But one of the things that Pastor Brian wanted to point out is that he didn't read any part of Joseph praying to God. right? His common sense said, I better get a divorce. And I won't make a big deal about it. I'll do it quietly. I don't want her to be shamed in any way, but I'm just going to kind of get out of the picture and let her live her life. That's what common sense was saying to him, right? But God had another way. So just this opportunity to pray when things don't make sense in your life, right? When we do come to a situation that our common sense is saying one thing and maybe we should do another. He also mentioned having like an internal struggle sometimes. We have to make a decision, like having an internal struggle in your mind. He had a good example of wanting to do something and make a decision this way. And all of these scriptures came to his mind that actually told him, yes, this is the way that you should do it. And then because he likes to overthink, he thought of Jesus in the desert. And he said, well, the devil came to Jesus and he gave him scripture. Maybe the scripture is leading me down the wrong path. You know, maybe that idea of that I had, you know, he found scripture that justified what he wanted to do, the decision that he wanted to make. So he wanted to make sure that he was doing God's will. So instead of just going with that scripture, he actually took the time to pray. You can bring it up here. We can pretend all day that none of these things happen at our church, but there's always something that's going on with the sound system. It's always a... that was a good one. All right. Yeah. This really highlights what the Lord says, or what the Lord says in Proverbs, that lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Like I said, Pastor Brian continued prayer to God, asking God, are those verses from you, or is this the devil trying to mislead me into the wrong decision? And these are his words, not mine. He says that he's not the sharpest tool in the shed, and more often than not, he doesn't know where the shed is. And if we're being honest, he says, I know myself enough to know that I can be selfish and choose my wants and my ways over God's. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can do the same thing, right? And we can justify it saying, oh, well, God put that in my head. So he was trying to take his predicament and make it a prayer to God so that he would lead him wherever he wants to use him. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Even when it says, you know, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. Yeah, well, Joseph thought, well, maybe I should get a divorce. Maybe I should leave this alone. But God had different plans. So all throughout the pages of Scripture, we are encouraged and invited to bring our cares and our worries and our celebrations, big or small, all before God. The Christmas story is no different. It's a reminder that God wants to have a relationship with us, that he cares about us, that he's big enough to handle anything that we face in life. Sometimes God's path will not always be the easiest. Sometimes it might be more challenging or stretch us more than we want to be stretched. But the results God brings is far better than we could ever dream up of on our own. So we learn from Joseph and the Christmas story to turn our predicaments into prayers. And point number three here, it says, it depends on God, not us. Sometimes I like to have the youth read some of the scriptures that go along with this. I won't do that to them here because it's kind of embarrassing. But Eli, no, just kidding. At the end of the day, God's plans do not depend on Joseph making it happen. God wants Joseph to be there, and Mary is definitely part of it, but this is all brought about by the work of God. He is shouldering the load. He is doing the heavy lifting. Joseph, don't be afraid and don't worry. This is all God's doing. Your wife is pregnant by the power of God, and she will give birth to a son, not just any son, the promised one, the Messiah, and you shall name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. It's God telling Joseph, I've got this all under control. I have a part for you to play, but I'm going to need you to trust me. Can you do that? So many times in our lives, even now, like we have this story to look back on, but we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. We don't know what the future is going to be like. We're all waiting for Jesus to return. We don't know when. We don't know how. Well, we kind of know how, but even in this, we have to trust God. Lean not on on our own understanding, but trust in the Lord in all our ways. Pastor Brian has a picture he wants to show you. It's a mechanic. It says hourly rate. It's $100 an hour minimum. Jim, are you feeling this? All right, $150 an hour if you watch. Jerry, $175 an hour if you help. $200 an hour if you work on it first. And $250 an hour if you tell me how to do my job. Now, how many mechanics do we have in here? Yeah? Does that make sense? True. Is that the gospel of mechanics? Yeah? You don't even charge? Oh. Well, I'm not a mechanic. I won't work on my car because I'm not that smart. But I do fix little things that break down at work. That's what my job is. I'm a electromechanic. And Bob knows it's really hard when people are, like, just watching you work. You know? You almost don't want to do anything until they kind of leave. So I'll pretend like I got to go get a part from the stock room. No, I'm just joking. I never am that inefficient, Bob, I promise. But really, when you take your car into the mechanic, do you know what's wrong with it? Sometimes you might not even know what it sounds like. I mean, you're like, yeah, I think the sound is coming from the front, but it could be from the back. The sound could be coming from the left side of my car or the right side of my car. I don't know what's wrong with it. It's just making a weird noise, right? And the mechanic has to decipher what's wrong with the car. We have no business telling a mechanic how to fix our cars, right? And there's a scripture that even says, like, we try to tell God, what are you doing with my life? You know? And he talks about being a potter and creating something out of clay. And it's like if the clay were to speak up and say, hey, I don't really like what you're doing here. You know? We have no business telling God that his plans are not right, and this doesn't make sense, or I don't want to do this. Truth be told, we have no business telling God how to accomplish his plans or what the better option is for us. Joseph's plan, divorce Mary quietly, keep her integrity, but get as far away as possible. God's plan, stay right there. Marry Mary, because all of this is going to be amazing. There are some great passages that remind us of this truth, and I love how God speaks through the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for an honorable use and another for dishonorable use? It is God's Christmas story. It's his plan, foretold from long ago. This is how God is going to resolve mankind's problem with sin. It's not just a way to deal with it. It's the way. It's the only way. It's God's way. God's Christmas story reminds us that God has a bigger plan, that he is doing the work that we need to trust him. And in the end, it points us to the cross. Just as Joseph and Mary received the news of an unexpected pregnancy, so too, we receive the unexpected news of grace. forgiveness, hope, joy, and peace. And the great news is, just as God invited Joseph to be a part of this plan, he also invites us. God's Christmas story is an invitation to come, to taste, and to see that God is good, and to get lost in his grace and mercy and hope and forgiveness. He's got a place for you, and he has some unexpected ways to use you for the glory of his kingdom. But it's going to take faith. I'm sorry. Why can't I get that song out of my head? I'm just faith, faith, faith. I gotta have faith. Oh, sorry. I am the youth pastor. I'm just going to remind you. But it's going to take faith. It's believing with faith in God's story and his work, even when common sense might say otherwise. It's God's story, and he's got a place for you. Won't you come be a part of his greater plan? Who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for just your mercies are new every day. And I just thank you, Lord, for guiding us this morning through the plan that's already was laid out, Lord. I just had to follow. So, Lord, I just pray that you would help us in our lives to see you at work, to see your grand master plan, Lord, and help us to have faith. And even when it doesn't make sense, to lean on you with all of our understanding, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.